2801, verse 7. And Isaac said unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, and where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac said unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. Signifies a conference of the Lord from love, of the divine truth with the divine good. The divine truth is the Son, and the divine good is the Father. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, signifies that love and justice are present. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Signifies where are they of the human race who are to be sanctified. 2802. Isaac said unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. That this signifies the Lord's conference from love of the divine truth with the divine good is evident from the signification of Isaac the son as being the divine truth, and from the signification of Abraham the father as being the divine good, which are treated of in what presently follows, and from the affection that is in these words as being from love on both sides. Hence it is manifest that it is a conference of the Lord with his Father. That more arcana lie hid in these words than can come to human perception is evident from the fact that the words he said occur four times in this verse. It is usual in the word, when any new thing is begun, to say, and he said. See number 2061, 2238, 2260. The same is evident from the fact that the words are words of love, and when such come to the perception of the celestial angels who are in the inmost sense, they form for themselves from them most celestial ideas, for they form for themselves luminous ideas from the affections in the word, whereas the spiritual angels do so from the significations of the words and of the things. Number 2157, 2275. And thus from these words, in which there are four distinct periods and affections of love, the celestial angels form such things as can in no wise come down to human apprehension, nor can be put into words, and this with ineffable abundance and variety. Hence we can see what the quality of the word is in its internal sense, even where it appears simple in the letter, as in this verse. 2803. That the divine truth is the Son, and the divine good the Father, is evident from the signification of a Son as being truth. See number 489, 491, 533, 1147, 2633. And of a father as being good, and also from the conception and birth of truth, which is from good. Truth cannot be and come forth, existere, from any other source than good, as has been shown many times. That the Son is here the divine truth, and the Father the divine good, is because the union of the divine essence with the human, and of the human essence with the divine, is the divine marriage of good with truth, and of truth with good, from which comes the celestial marriage. For in Yahuwah, or the Lord, there is nothing but what is infinite, and because infinite, it cannot be apprehended by any idea, except that it is the being and the coming forth, esse et existere, of all good and truth, or is good itself and truth itself. Good itself is the Father, and truth itself is the Son. But because, as before said, there is a divine marriage of good and truth, and of truth and good, the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father, as the Lord himself teaches in John. Jesus saith unto Philip, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. 14 verses 10 and 11. And again at the same evangelist, Jesus said to the Jews, Though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. 10, verses 36 and 38. And again, I pray for them, for all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. 17, verses 9, 10, and 21. And again, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself. Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. 13, verses 31 and 32, 17, verse 1. From this may be seen the nature of the union of the divine and the human in the Lord, namely, that it is mutual and alternate or reciprocal. Which union is that which is called the divine marriage, from which descends the celestial marriage, which is the Lord's kingdom itself in the heavens, thus spoken of in John. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. 14, verse 20. And again, I pray for them that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, I in them, and thou in me, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. 17, verses 21 to 23 and 26. That this celestial marriage is that of good and truth and good, may be seen above. Number 2508, 2618, 2728, 2729, and following numbers. And because the divine good cannot be and come forth without the divine truth, nor the divine truth without the divine good, but the one and the other mutually and reciprocally, it is therefore manifest that the divine marriage was from eternity, that is, the Son in the Father and the Father in the Son, as the Lord himself teaches in John. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thyself, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. 17, verses 5 and 24. But the divine human which was born from eternity was also born in time, and what was born in time and glorified is the same. Hence it is that the Lord so often said that he was going to the Father who sent him, that is, that he was returning to the Father. And in John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is the divine truth itself. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1, verses 1 to 3 and 14. See also John 3, verse 13, 6, verse 62. 2804. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. That this signifies that love and justice were present is evident from the signification of fire as being love. See number 934. And from the signification of wood for a burnt offering as being the merit of justice. See number 2784. 2805. Where is the lamb, pekos, for a burnt offering? That this signifies, where are they from the human race who are to be sanctified, is evident from the representation of sacrifices, especially of burnt offerings. That burnt offerings and sacrifices were representative of internal worship may be seen above, number 922, 923. That they were made from the flock and from the herd. That when made from the flock, they consisted of lambs, sheep, she-goats, kids, rams, he-goats, and when from the herd of oxen, bullocks, or calves, and that these signified various kinds of celestial and spiritual things. Number 922, 1823, 2180. Also that by means of them sanctifications were to be effected. Number 2776. It may be seen from this that by Isaac's inquiry, "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" is signified, "Where are they from the human race who are to be sanctified?" which is more plainly manifest from what follows, that is, from the answer of Abraham his father. "God will see for himself the lamb for a burnt offering," verse 8, by which is signified that the divine human will provide those who are to be sanctified. This is also evident from the fact that a ram was afterward seen behind them, held by the horns in a thicket, which was offered for a burnt offering, verse 13, by which are signified those of the human race who are of the Lord's spiritual church. And the same is evident from what follows in verses 14 to 17. 2806, verse 8. And Abraham said, "God will see for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." And they went, both of them, together. Abraham said, "God will see for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son," signifies the reply that the divine human will provide those who are to be sanctified. "And they went, both of them, together," signifies unition still closer as far as possible. 2807. Abraham said, "God will see for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." That this signifies the reply that the divine human will provide those who are to be sanctified is evident from the signification of seeing for himself when predicated of God as being to foresee and provide. Foreseeing, in the proximate internal sense, is to understand. Number 2150, 2325. In a still more internal sense, it is having faith. Number 897, 2325. But in the supreme sense, it is foreseeing and providing. And also from the signification of the lamb for a burnt offering, as being those from the human race who are to be sanctified. See just above, number 2805. That the spiritual are here meant by the lamb for a burnt offering is manifest from what follows. The beasts for the burnt offering and sacrifice signified various things. A lamb, one thing, a sheep, another, a kid and a she-goat, another, a ram and a he-goat, another. So also an ox, a bullock, and a calf, and the young of doves and turtle doves. That each signified a different thing is plainly evident from its being expressly defined which kind should be sacrificed on the several days and at each festival, as at expiations, cleansings, inaugurations, and at other times. These kinds would by no means have been so expressly pointed out unless each one had a special signification. It is manifest that all the rites or external kinds of worship that existed in the ancient church and afterwards in the Jewish, represented the Lord, and especially the burnt offerings and sacrifices, because among the Hebrew nation these were the principal things of worship. And because they represented the Lord, they at the same time also represented those things which are the Lord's with men, namely the celestial things of love and the spiritual things of faith. Consequently, the men themselves who are celestial or spiritual, or who ought to be. Hence it is that by the lamb here are signified the spiritual, that is, they who are of the Lord's spiritual church. That by God will see for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son, is signified that the divine human will provide, is evident from the fact that it is not here said that Yahuwah will see, but that God will see. When both are named, as in this chapter, by Yahuwah is then meant the same as by the Father, and by God the same as by the Son. And thus here the divine human, and this because the spiritual man is treated of, who has salvation from the divine human, as may be seen above, number 2661, 2716. 2808. They went both of them together. That this signifies unition still closer as far as possible is evident without explication. A closer unition is signified because it is said a second time. 2809, verse 9. And they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built there the altar, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. They came to the place which God told him of, signifies the state at that time according to perception from divine truth. And Abraham built there the altar, signifies the preparation of the Lord's human divine, and laid the wood in order, signifies the justice that was adjoined to it, and bound Isaac his son, signifies the state of the divine rational which was thus, as to truth, about to undergo the last degrees of temptation, and laid him on the altar upon the wood, signifies in the human divine to which the justice belonged. 2810. They came to the place which God told him of. That this signifies the state at that time according to perception from divine truth is evident from the signification of place as being state, see above number 2786, and from the signification of saying in the historical parts of the word as being to perceive, explained often before. Here, God saying denotes perceiving from divine truth because it is said God and not Yahuwah. Number 2586, 2807 at the end. 2811. And Abraham built there the altar. That this signifies the preparation of the Lord's human divine is evident from the signification of an altar and of building an altar. Altars signified all worship in general, because they were the primary things of the worship of the representative church, number 921. And as they signified all worship in general, they signified the Lord's divine human. For the Lord's divine human is all worship and all doctrine, so much so as to be worship itself and doctrine itself, as may be seen also from the Holy Supper, which succeeded to altars or to burnt offerings and sacrifices. Number 2165, 2187, 2343, 2359, and which is the primary thing of external worship, because it is the Lord's divine human which is there given. That to build an altar is to prepare the human divine is evident from the above, and thus without explication. The final preparation of the Lord's human divine for undergoing the last degrees of temptation is treated of in this verse, and is described by Abraham laying the wood in order, binding Isaac his son, and placing him on the altar upon the wood. 2812. And he laid the wood in order. That this signifies the justice which was adjoined to it is evident from the signification of the wood of a burnt offering as being the merit of justice. See above number 2784, 2798. And from the signification of laying the wood in order upon the altar as being to adjoin that justice to the human divine. The merit of justice is adjoined when it is there, and when there is confidence from truth that it belongs to him. 2813. And bound Isaac his son. That this signifies the state of the rational divine thus about to undergo as to truth the last degrees of temptation is evident from the signification of binding and also of Isaac his son. That to bind is to put on the state for undergoing the last degrees of temptation is evident from the fact that he who is in a state of temptation is no otherwise than as bound or chained. That Isaac the Son is the Lord's divine rational here as to truth may be seen above, number 2802-2803. All the genuine rational consists of good and truth. The Lord's rational divine as to good could not suffer or undergo temptations, for no genius or spirit inducing temptations can come near to good divine, as it is above all attempt at temptation. But truth divine bound was what could be tempted, for there are fallacies and still more falsities which break in upon and thus tempt it. For concerning truth divine, some idea can be formed, but not concerning good divine, except by those who have perception and are celestial angels. It was truth divine which was no longer acknowledged when the Lord came into the world, and therefore it was that from which the Lord underwent and endured temptations. Truth divine in the Lord is what is called the Son of Man, but good divine is what is called the Son of God. Of the Son of Man, the Lord says many times that he was to suffer, but never of the Son of God. That he says this of the Son of Man, or of truth divine, is evident in Matthew. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and scribes, and they shall condemn him, and shall deliver him unto the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. 20 verses 18 and 19. In the same, Jesus said to his disciples, Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. 26 verse 45. In Mark, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. 8 verse 31. In the same, it is written of the Son of Man that he shall suffer many things and be set at naught, and the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. But when he is killed, he shall rise again on the third day. 9 verses 12 and 31. In the same, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him unto the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. 10 verses 33 and 34. In the same, The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. 14 verse 41. In Luke, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day rise again. 9 verses 22 and 44. In the same, We go up to Jerusalem, where all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. He shall be delivered up unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and shamefully entreated, and spit upon, and they shall scourge and kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. 18 verses 31 to 33. In the same, The angel said to the women, Remember what he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. 24 verses 6 and 7. In all these places, by the Son of Man is meant the Lord as to truth divine, or as to the word in its internal sense, which was rejected by the chief priests and scribes, was shamefully entreated, scourged, spit upon, and crucified, as may be clearly evident from the fact that the Jews applied and arrogated everything to themselves according to the letter, and were not willing to know anything about the spiritual sense of the word and about the celestial kingdom, believing that the Messiah was to come to raise up their kingdom above all the kingdoms of the earth, as they also believe at this day. Hence it is manifest that it was truth divine which was rejected by them, shamefully treated, scourged, and crucified. Whether you say truth divine or the Lord as the truth divine, it is the same. For the Lord is the truth itself, as he is the word itself. Number 2011, 2016, 2533 at the end. The Lord's rising again on the third day also involves that truth divine, or the word as to the internal sense, as it was understood by the ancient church, will be revived in the consummation of the age, which is also the third day. Number 1825, 2788. On which account it is said that the Son of Man, that is, truth divine, will then appear. Matthew 24, verses 30, 37, 39, and 44. Mark 13, verse 26. Luke 17, verses 22, 24 to 26, and 30, 21, verses 27 and 36. That the Son of Man is the Lord as the truth divine is evident from the passages adduced, and further from the following. In Matthew, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world. In the consummation of the age, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. 13, verses 37, 41, and 42. Where the good seed is the truth, the world is men. He that soweth the seed is the Son of Man, and the things that offend are falsities. In John, the multitude said, we have heard out of the law that the Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus answered them, a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, that darkness overtake you not. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may become the sons of light. 12, verses 34 and 35. Where, when they asked who the Son of Man is, Jesus answered concerning the light, which is the truth, and that he is the light or truth in which they should believe. As regards the light which is from the Lord, and which is the divine truth, see above number 1053, 1521, 1529 to 1531, 1619 to 1632. But that the Son of God, or the Lord as to good in his human divine, could not be tempted, as was said above, this is manifest also from the Lord's answer to the tempter in the evangelists. The tempter said, if thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, lest haply thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Matthew 4, verses 6 and 7, Luke 4, verses 9 to 12. 2814. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. That this signifies in the human divine to which justice belongs is evident from the signification of an altar as being the Lord's divine human, see just above number 2811, and from the signification of the wood of a burnt offering as being the merit of justice, see number 2784, 2798, 2812. The truth divine in the Lord's human divine, which underwent the temptations, and which has been treated of, is not the divine truth itself, for this is above all temptation. But it is the rational truth, such as the angels have, consisting in the appearances of truth, and is what is called the Son of Man, but before the glorification. But the divine truth in the Lord's glorified divine human is above appearances, nor can it possibly come to any understanding, still less to the apprehension of man, nor even to that of angels, and thus not at all to anything of temptation. It appears in the heavens as light which is from the Lord. Concerning this divine truth, or the Son of Man glorified, it is thus written in John. Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. 13 verses 31 and 32. That a distinct idea may be had of this very deep arcanum, we may call the truth with the Lord which could be tempted, and which underwent temptations, truth divine in the Lord's human divine. But the truth which could not be tempted, or undergo any temptation, because it was glorified, the divine truth in the Lord's divine human. This distinction has also been observed here and there in what goes before. 2815, verse 10. And Abraham put forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham put forth his hand signifies temptation even to the utmost of power. And took the knife signifies as to truth. To slay his son signifies until whatever was from the merely human was dead. 2816. Abraham put forth his hand. That this signifies temptation even to the utmost of power is evident from the series of things. For the Lord's most grievous and inmost temptations are treated of. The verses which precede treat of the preparation of the human divine for admitting and enduring them. Here the act is treated of, which is expressed in the sense of the letter by Abraham put forth his hand. That power is signified by the hand may be seen above, number 878. Here the utmost of power, because nothing but the act was wanting. It is according to the internal sense that the Lord's divine led his human into the most grievous temptations, for by Abraham is meant the Lord as to his divine, and this even to the utmost of power. The truth is that the Lord admitted temptations into himself in order that he might expel thence all that was merely human, and this until nothing but the divine remained. That the Lord admitted temptations into himself, even the last, which was that of the cross, may be seen from the words of the Lord himself in Matthew. Jesus began to show the disciples that he must suffer many things and be killed. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Spare thyself, Lord, let this not be done unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that are of God, but those that are of men. 16 verses 21 to 23. And more manifestly in John, No one taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. 10 verse 18. And in Luke, Behooved it not the Christ to suffer these things, and to enter into his glory? 24 verse 26. 2817. And took the knife. That this signifies as to truth is evident from the signification of a knife as being the truth of faith, explained above, number 2799, and that the Lord's temptation was as to truth divine, see above, number 2813, 2814. 2818. To slay his son. That this signifies until whatever was from the merely human was dead, is evident from the internal sense of these words, for they signify the Lord's most grievous and inmost temptations, the last of which was that of the cross, in which it is evident that what was merely human also died. This could not be represented by Abraham's son or Isaac, because to sacrifice sons was an abomination, but it was represented so far as it could be, namely, even to the attempt, but not to the act. Hence it is evident that by these words, Abraham took the knife to slay his son, it is signified unto all that was merely human was dead. That it was known from the most ancient time that the Lord was to come into the world and was to suffer death is evident from the fact that the custom prevailed among the Gentiles of sacrificing their sons, believing that they were thus purified and propitiated to God, in which abominable custom they could not have placed their most important religious observance unless they had learned from the ancients that the Son of God was to come, who would, as they believed, be made a sacrifice. To this abomination even the sons of Israel were inclined, and Abraham also, for no one is tempted except by that to which he is inclined. That the sons of Jacob were so inclined is evident in the prophets, but lest they should rush into that abomination, it was permitted to institute burnt offerings and sacrifices. See number 922, 1128, 1241, 1343, 2180. 2819. As regards the Lord's temptations in general, some were more external and some more internal, and the more internal they were, the more grievous. The inmost ones are described by the evangelists, Matthew 26, verses 37 to 39, 42 and 44, 27, verse 46, Mark 14, verses 33 to 36, 15, verse 34, Luke 22, verses 42 to 44. But see what has been said before respecting the Lord's temptations, namely, that the Lord first contended from goods and truths, which appeared as goods and truths, number 1661. That he contended against the evils of the love of self and the world from divine love toward the whole human race, number 1690, 1691 at the end, 1789, 1812, 1813, 1820. That he alone contended from the divine love, number 1812, 1813. That all the hells fought against the Lord's love, which was for the salvation of the whole human race, number 1820. That the Lord endured the most grievous temptations of all, number 1663, 1668, 1787. That the Lord became justice from his own power by means of temptations and victories, number 1813, 2025. That the union of his human essence with his divine essence was effected by the Lord by means of temptations and victories, number 1737, 1813, 1921, 2025, 2026. See also what has been said before concerning temptations in general, number 59, 63, 227, 847. That temptation is a combat concerning power, as to whether good or evil, truth or falsity, is to reign supreme, number 1923. That in temptations there are indignations and many other affections, number 1917. That temptations are celestial, spiritual, and natural, number 847. That in temptations the evil genii and spirits assail the things of the love, and thus the things of the man's life, number 847, 1820. What temptations affect, number 1692 at the beginning, 1717, 1740. That temptation is for the purpose that corporeal things may be subdued, number 857. That the evils and falsities in a man who is being regenerated are subdued by temptations, not abolished, number 868. That truth has the first place in combat, number 1685. That man combats from the goods and truths which he has acquired by cognitions, though they be not in themselves goods and truths, number 1661. That evil spirits and genii excite the falsities and evils in a man, and hence come temptations, number 741, 751, 761. That in temptations man thinks that the Lord is absent, whereas he is then more present, number 840. That man can by no means sustain the combats of temptations of himself, because they're against all the hells, number 1692 at the end. That the Lord alone combats in man, number 1661, 1692. That by means of temptations, evil genii and spirits are deprived of the power of doing evil and inspiring falsity in man, number 1695, 1717. That temptations come with those who have conscience, and more acute ones with those who have perception, number 1668. That temptations rarely exist at this day, but in their place anxieties, which are of another character and from another source, number 762. That men spiritually dead cannot sustain the combats of temptations, number 270. That all temptations are attended with despair respecting the end, number 1787, 1820. That after temptations there is fluctuation, number 848, 857. That the good learn by temptations that they are nothing but evil, and that all things are of mercy, number 2334. That by temptations goods are conjoined more closely with truths, number 2272. That men are not saved by temptations if they yield in them, nor if they think that they have merited by them, number 2273. That in every temptation there is freedom, and stronger than out of temptations, number 1937. 2820, verse 11. And the angel of Yahuwah called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. The angel of Yahuwah called unto him out of heaven signifies consolation at that time from the divine itself, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Signifies a perception of consolation in the divine good of the rational after temptation. 2821. The angel of Yahuwah called unto him out of heaven. That this signifies consolation from the divine itself at that time is evident from the signification of calling out of heaven as being to console, as is also manifest from what immediately precedes and what next follows, and also from the signification of the angel of Yahuwah. That when angels are mentioned in the word, by them is meant something in the Lord, and that it appears from the series what of the Lord is meant, may be seen above, number 1925. We read in like manner concerning the Lord, that when he sustained the most grievous temptation in Gethsemane, an angel from heaven was seen by him, strengthening him. Luke 22, verse 43. By the angel from heaven, here also in the internal sense, is meant the divine which was in him. 2822. And said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. That this signifies a perception of consolation in the divine good of the rational after temptation is evident from the signification of saying in the historical parts of the word as being to perceive, explained often before. That it is here perception in the divine good of the rational is because the divine good of the rational, or of the Lord's human, is here signified by Abraham. What perception in the divine good of the rational is cannot be unfolded to the apprehension, for before it is unfolded, an idea of the Lord's divine human must have been formed from the cognition of many things. And before this has been formed, all things belonging to the explication would fall into empty and obscure ideas, which would either pervert the truths or bring them into things incongruous. In this verse, the Lord's first state after temptation is treated of, which is a state of consolation, on which account it is now no longer said God, but Yahuwah. For God is named when truth is treated of, but Yahuwah when good is treated of, from which comes consolation, number 2769. All consolation after temptation is insinuated into good, for from good is all joy. And from the good it passes into truth. On this account, by Abraham is here signified the divine good of the rational, as in other places also, and also whenever Yahuwah is named in the same verse. 2823, verse 12. And he said, Put not forth thine hand upon the boy, and do not anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, and thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only one, from me. He said, Put not forth thine hand upon the boy, signifies that he should admit the temptation no further into the truth divine which belonged to the rational. And do not anything unto him, signifies liberation. For now I know that thou fearest God, signifies glorification from the divine love, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only one, from me, signifies the unition of the human with the divine by means of the last of temptation. 2824. And he said, Put not forth thine hand upon the boy, that this signifies that he should admit the temptation no further into the truth divine which belonged to the rational, is evident from the signification of putting forth the hand as being temptation even to the utmost of power, explained just above, number 2816, and from the signification of the boy, that is, of Isaac, as being the rational as to truth divine, into which the temptations were admitted. See number 2803, 2813, 2814, 2817. 2825. And do not anything unto him. That this signifies liberation is evident without explication. For when it is said that he should do nothing to him, it means that the act should be interrupted, and thus that he will be liberated. 2826. For now I know that thou fearest God. That this signifies glorification from the divine love is evident from the signification of knowing when predicated of the Lord's divine as being nothing else than to be united, or what is the same, to be glorified. For it was being united to the human divine by means of temptations, number 1737, 1813. And from the signification of fearing God, or of the fear of God, as being here the divine love. And because this is predicated of the Lord's divine rational as to truth, it is here said to fear God and not Yahuwah. For when truth is treated of, it is said God, but when good, Yahuwah. Number 2586, 2769, 2822. That the divine love is that by which the Lord united his human essence to his divine essence, and the divine essence to the human, or what is the same, glorified himself, may be seen above, number 1812, 1813, 2253. What fearing God signifies in the word may be seen from a great many passages when understood as to the internal sense. The fear of God there signifies worship, and indeed worship either from fear or from the good of faith or from the good of love. Worship from fear when the non-regenerate, worship from the good of faith when the spiritual regenerate, and worship from the good of love when the celestial regenerate are treated of. 1. That the fear of God in general signifies worship is manifest in the Book of Kings. The sons of Israel feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the nations. The nations sent into Samaria feared not Yahuwah in the beginning. Therefore Yahuwah sent lions among them. And one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear Yahweh. Yahweh made a covenant with the sons of Israel, and commanded them, Ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But ye shall fear Yahweh, and bow yourselves down unto him, and sacrifice to him. Second Book of Kings 17, verses 7, 8, 24, 25, 28, 32, 33, 35 to 37, and 41. Here, fearing manifestly denotes worshiping. In Isaiah, Because this people have drawn nigh unto me with their mouth, and have honored me with their lips, and their heart hath removed itself far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men which hath been taught. 29, verse 13. Where their fear of me denotes worship in general, for it is said that the fear was a commandment of men. In Luke, There was in a city a judge who feared not God and regarded not man. 18, verse 2. Fearing not God means not worshipping him. 2. That the fear of God signifies worship from fear when the non-regenerate are treated of is manifest from the following passages in Moses. When the law was promulgated upon Mount Sinai, the people said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before you, that ye sin not. Exodus 20, verses 19 and 20. And again, Now why shall we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of Yahweh our God any more, then we shall die. Go thou near, and hear all that Yahweh our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that Yahweh our God shall say unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Who will give them to have such a heart as this, to fear me, and keep all my commandments always? Deuteronomy 5, verses 25 and 27 to 29. Hear the fear of God before you, that ye sin not, and a heart to fear me, and keep all my commandments, signifies worship from fear in respect to them, because such was their quality. For they who are in external worship, and not an internal, are driven to the observance of the law and to obedience by fear. But still they do not come into internal worship or into holy fear, unless they are in the good of life, and know what is internal, and believe it. In the same, If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, to fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahweh thy God, Yahweh will make thy plagues wonderful with thy seed, plagues great and sure, and sore diseases and sure. And he will bring upon thee again all the sickness of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Deuteronomy 28, verses 58 to 60. Hear also, to fear the glorious and fearful name of Yahweh God is to worship from fear. And that this might exist among those of such a character, all evils, even to cursings, were attributed to Yahweh. Number 592, 2335, 2395, 2447. In Jeremiah, Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and a bitter that thou hast forsaken Yahweh thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. 2, verse 19. In Luke, I say unto you, Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. 2:4-5, Matthew 10:28. Here also, fearing God involves worshipping from some fear, because fear drove them to obedience, as before said. 3. That to fear God or Yahuwah signifies worship from the good of faith, where the spiritual regenerate are treated of, is manifest from the following passages. In Moses, the king shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear Yahuwah his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. Deuteronomy 17:18-19. In the internal sense, king denotes the truth of faith, for royalty represented the Lord's spiritual kingdom. Numbers 1672, 1728, 2015, 2069. Hence to fear Yahuwah his God is to worship him from the truth of faith, and because this is inseparable from the good of charity, it is described by keeping the words of the law and the statutes to do them. In Samuel, behold, Yahuwah hath set a king over you. If ye will fear Yahuwah and serve him, and hearken unto his voice, then shall both ye and the king that reigneth over you be followers of Yahuwah your God. 1 Samuel 12:13-14. Here also in the internal sense, fearing Yahuwah denotes worshipping from the good and truth of faith, as before, because a king or royalty is treated of. In Joshua, now fear Yahuwah, and serve him in integrity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served. 24:14. Where also to fear Yahuwah denotes worshipping from good and truth, which is of the spiritual man. For integrity is predicated of the good of faith, Numbers 6:12, and truth of the truth of faith. In Jeremiah, they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put my fear in their heart, that they shall not depart from me. 32:38-40. That fearing God here is worshipping from the good and truth of faith is evident from the series and from the use of the words people and God. That those are called people who are in truth may be seen above, Numbers 12:59, 12:60. And that God is named where truth is treated of, Numbers 25:86, 27:69, 28:07 at the end. In Isaiah, the strong people shall honor thee, the city of the mighty nations shall fear thee. 25:3. Where fearing God also denotes worshipping from spiritual truth, for it is predicated of people and city. That a city is doctrinal truth may be seen above, Numbers 402, 2268, 2450, 2451. In David, what man is he that feareth Yahuwah? Him shall he teach the way that he shall choose. Psalm 25:12. Where the man that feareth Yahuwah denotes him who worships him. And that this is said of the spiritual man is manifest from its being said, him shall he teach the way. That a way is truth may be seen above, Numbers 6:27, 23:33. And again with similar meaning, blessed is everyone that feareth Yahuwah, that walketh in his ways. Psalm 128:1. In the same, they that fear Yahuwah shall glorify him. All the seed of Jacob shall glorify him, and all the seed of Israel shall stand in awe of him. Psalm 22, verse 23. Here, to stand in awe of him means to worship from the truth of faith. For the seed of Israel is the spiritual of the church, or the good and truth of faith. Number 1025, 1447, 1610. In Moses. Now Israel, what doth Yehovah thy God require of thee, but to fear Yehovah thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yehovah thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yehovah and his statutes. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. Here is described what it is to fear God with the spiritual man, that is, Israel. Namely, that it is to walk in the ways of Yehovah, to love him, to serve him, and to keep his precepts and his statutes. In John, I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, saying with a great voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. Here, to fear God denotes holy worship from the good and truth of faith. In Luke, Jesus said to him that was palsied, Arise, take up thy couch, and go unto thy house. And amazement took hold upon them all, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear. 5, verses 24 to 26. Where fear denotes holy fear, such as is that of those who are being initiated into the good of love by the truth of faith.